America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Chris Logie and Teresa Salmon. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah, so this episode's going to be for November 13th, 2020. We are now in day 10 of the president's not acknowledging that he lost.
Yeah, about like that. It's pretty definitive after today.
Yeah, even though pretty much everywhere else in the world acknowledges Biden as the president-elect of the United States. Right now, as we are speaking, my state is undergoing a hand recount. Well, technically it's an audit, but functionally that's what it is. It is a long and grueling process, but hopefully, you know, and because, you know, Biden managed to turn Georgia blue, but only by a couple, only by like a decimal point, it automatically, state law requires it automatically goes into a hand recount. So I don't expect that to change anything. He's still probably going to come out on top. But even if he doesn't, it doesn't really matter because they already called it Nevada. They've already called it for Pennsylvania. He doesn't have it. You know, Trump doesn't have a chance in hell now.
No, not at all.
So obviously his toddler-like insistence on him being the winning boy, he is the boy who wins. We got a bunch of other Trump-related shit to talk about because he's, as I warned before the election, after he loses, he's now probably these next few weeks are going to be arguably where he might be at his most dangerous because he doesn't have anything to lose now.
Yep.
And there are some worrying actions that he has taken, him and his administration, over the last few days. We will be talking about that in this this episode. But it wasn't all bad. We actually do have some other good stories that came out of the election, including what the First Lady will be doing. And, you know, what life in the White House will be for the Bidens, you know, since, you know, now he actually lives, he'll actually be living there instead of just visiting since he was vice president. And of course, we've also got some heroes of the week to talk about. We've also got the COVID-19 dump truck. We actually have some good news on that front for finally. Like legit good news, the news that we've been desperately waiting for. We actually have some news of that. Once again, in Europe, somebody let someone do a historic art restoration project who was not fucking qualified. Yeah, it happened again. It happened again. And then, of course, we got some entertainment news as well. So we'll have all that and more on this week's episode of Let's Weekend. So with all that out of the way, let's start as we always start. Chris, what have you been up to this week?
Fuck Amazon. Everything about them. Because they decided that PS5 I pre-ordered, we're not going to send that out. So it ruined all the plans I had to stream PS5 stuff this weekend. Might not get it until like end of this next week. Because I talked to their CS and was like, yeah, there seems to be some sort of glitch that prevented it from shipping. I was like, oh, that's convenient. and that they had to put a ticket in to get it fixed, and that might take 2 to 3 days, business days, before it even gets shipped, as far as I can tell.
That is crock.
Yeah. Which is like, if I had the money to spend, I would just order a new one whenever these new ones are coming out. In short supply, it's like Sony Direct or wherever else
Yeah.
And just tell Amazon to go fuck themselves. Which I definitely let the like I know that I know it's not his fault, but this is pretty much the last straw for me for with Amazon. They cannot fuck up this big. And I will just keep shopping with them.
Yeah.
Because that's multiple huge purchases I've had over the years that they have not been able to properly process and send it out at launch. And that's too much. Yeah. If I had other options, I would have went for those first. So, you know, my hands were tied on that front, but Amazon couldn't even get over the low bar that I had for them. So yeah, now I got to deal with their bullshit. And I think the initial offer they made is like $10 credit and refund the shipping costs. I was like, yeah, I'll talk to you when I actually get this damn thing. We'll see what else is going in there. Because I don't think it's really, you know, enough.
No.
For fucking weeks delay of something I paid for 2 months ago. Because they never sent any emails saying like, hey, we're changing, you know, here's when it's supposed to arrive. Here, we're changing this stuff. The tracking now just says expected November 12th, which is like, all right, you're inventing time travel now.
Mm-hmm.
And the updates, this appeared yesterday at like 7 p.m., but claims it was posted at 2:15 a.m. Possible delay in delivery due to arrival at incorrect carrier facility. Rosemead, which I think is California.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, you fucked it up early in the morning and then has done nothing with it. It's like, just fucking send it to the warehouse here and I'll go pick it up. I'll do that and save you guys the time and further embarrassment. That you can't even get it out. So that's been the annoying stuff. Luckily, a couple of the games I've purchased for that PS5 are cross-buy. So I got PS4 versions, Spider-Man Miles Morales, which I just started a little bit ago. So I just did like the very beginning of the game intro stuff, which is still Spider-Man. It's a lot of fun. The combat's really well done.
Did you see the cat?
Not yet. That's not.
Okay. Okay.
I basically just finished the opening sequence with a certain villain breaking out as they're trying to transport everybody back to Raft from the end of the last game. And of course, it all fucking goes up, down to disaster.
Mm-hmm.
As is anything when you're transporting major named villains around. But yeah, I love the in-game or the Twitter stuff they have in the menus. You can read like the social media feed. And there's one, it's just Daily Bugle tweeting out like, you know, updates, you know, so-and-so is broken out of the prison transport stuff and has been rampaging down New York City with Spider-Man intervening. Then J. Jonah Jameson's account just responds like, in all caps, like, what? You didn't mention that they destroyed my studio? Because Spider-Man's a menace. And somebody's like, named not the Daily Bugle. So on it updates, asshole didn't get insurance for his studio, experiences property damage by the villain. You know, just absolutely trolling him. It's like, all right, this is pretty good. This is pretty good stuff. You know, so there's some good writing in there, at least early on from what I've seen. But yeah, also played The Pathless. It's the new game from Giant Squid who made Abzu. The like underwater game. This one is kind of like their take on like Breath of the Wild, I guess. So you're kind of playing as this this warrior that's like a master of the bow and arrow. And she is able to essentially you shoot these like gems that are all over the place, and that fills up your like your boost meter where you can just kind of run around and just keep shooting them, keeping that full and just boost around the place just really fast. Eventually you get a like an eagle buddy that goes along with you, and you can kind of hang off of them as you're your like glider. And now I got the ability to get like a, if I jump, grab onto them, the bird for gliding, and then I can do like a second jump in the air. So you can get up a bit higher as a result. But yeah, so far it's been a lot of, not really a lot of puzzle solving, but some puzzle solving where it's, you know, trying to figure out, you know, ways to open up these doors. You know, the bird can carry around these big heavy things that can use to put on these, you know, plates to open up doors, that kind of stuff. And yeah, kind of get into the big open world part of it. So it was just at the beginning. But yeah, it seems fun so far. Really good music because it's Austin Wintory, who's one of the best around. He did the Journey soundtrack, the Banner Saga soundtracks, Abzu, and a bunch of other games around. So that's also been a good bit of fun there. And also play more Rocket League. Finished all the missions for this week. Didn't finish the one last week where I had to get 1,100 points in a game. But then they put one this week that was 1,000 points. So I was like, all right, that's a bit easier. Which I ended up doing a 1v1 match against somebody and managed to get it just before they forfeited. So that worked out. But yeah, I want to check out some of these tournaments since I've seen from people have done them say there's maybe like an hour or so at most if you get all the way to the finals of the tournament stuff. But it's just lining up the time for that, because there's set time intervals. I think the ones tonight were like 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. And it's like, I didn't even think about checking them until like 6:30. It's like, oh, I missed one. I missed the 9 o'clock one because they're doing this show.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Definitely looking forward to putting some more time into that. But yeah, just now, finding ways to kill time because Amazon fucked up on the entire weekend plans. So let's stream stuff next weekend as long as Amazon doesn't fuck it up even further.
All right.
Which, it's a low bar. Yeah, Teresa, right. What'd you do?
Yeah, Teresa, what about you?
I've been playing a lot of Animal Crossing because it is the season.
Yep.
What else have I been doing? I've been, we watched a movie, which is, we don't watch a lot of movies, but we watched Knives Out and thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh yeah.
Thought that was great, because I had been listening to a podcast, Stuff You Should Know. They were talking about Agatha Christie, and I didn't actually finish the podcast, but they kept talking about Knives Out, and I'm like, I know, I've been wanting to see that. So we did that. We've been going through Bob's Burgers. We haven't done any of our weekly stuff, so we're like 2 weeks behind on Archer and Star Trek Discovery and the other thing that we watch. Oh, Mandalorian. We'll catch up on that, but we've been fooling around with that damn bathroom. We did get the medicine cabinet up. Toilet apparently didn't arrive this week, so no new toilet yet. And, like, that's... The toilet's broke. I mean...
I gotcha.
Yeah, so that's got to happen. It was broke when we moved in. But it... it leaks water somewhere, and we think it's out the drain hole. Which is great, because the person below us isn't saying that they're... bathroom's flooded for the past 2 years, so I said we've been watching Bob's Burgers, but yeah, we've been definitely watching that. That's like our lunchtime go-to, so we spend a little bit of time getting our lunch together because we're both still working from home, and Jacob is doing school from home, so sometimes he watches it with us, but usually not. But I'm doing a little laptop replacement experiment. I told you guys that I had sold off my old Razer laptop because, man, that thing sounded like a jet engine. And, So I've been using an iPad, not an iPad Pro, like a $300-something iPad, which consequently I think is going to be the last... I don't want to use the word cheap, but when it's an Apple product, this is cheap for an Apple product. It's going to be the last cheap iPad. It's the 8th generation iPad, because the next generation iPad, they're going to move over to Face ID. So they're not going to have the big bezels. It's not going to have the same design that they've had for, like, what, the past 10, 12 years or something. But I picked one up, and I added a little keyboard to it. And, you know, I've been doing all sorts of shit on it. I've been complaining to people who sold me shit on eBay and canceled my orders. I'm having a big problem with that. So, Chris, I feel your pain, but it is smaller pain because these aren't huge items. But I had 3 things canceled in the past week. And I only ordered like 5 things on eBay this whole month. And it's just really a big pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So I guess a lot of people of all sizes are having logistical problems with their inventory.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But so far, this is working out pretty well. I'm using it right now, running Discord, and we've gotten to the place where I had noticed when I was using my laptop a lot of times, just browsing something on the website wasn't quite as good as using the app for whatever, you know, whatever site that was, like Home Depot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easier to sort and filter and find the shit that you need on their app. And Target.com, you know, I used to get my stuff there, but if you order from Target.com, you can't do curbside pickup. You have to use a goddamn app. So with the exception of eBay, I would say that we're getting to a place in our lives where apps are a little more full featured than their desktop counterpart, their web browser counterpart. Interesting little side note, but that's pretty much it. I until we get this bathroom done, and I've also been painting those damn kitchen cabinet doors, and I'm almost done, except those are only the top doors. Side note to people who think about painting kitchen cabinets, you maybe want to not do that.
Yeah.
it's just a lot of work. Mm-hmm. It just really is. It's worth it. It's definite sweat equity, but yeah, until we get this shit kind of buttoned up, I don't know that I'm going to be doing like a whole lot, just maintenance gaming. Although I'm pretty sure after we get to a point this weekend where we can't do any more because we're waiting on that toilet, and waiting on Amazon to cancel an order for a bathroom cabinet. Don't ask. Nightmare. Big nightmare. Yeah, maybe I'll get in some retro gaming because somebody homebrewed my 3DS.
Nice.
So yeah, so that's it. Brandon, what have you been doing?
Well, as for me, I'm still playing Cold Steel 4. I have I'm pretty well into it now, but I still can tell that I still got a long way to go. Danreb said that by the time he finished it, it was like 120 hours. So, yeah. It'll take me a little while. Let's see. What else? Oh, yeah. Went back and playing Kaiserreich again. I decided to, like, start a new run. So, I'm at a point now where in the U.S. they just decided to hold an election, and Huey Long and his America First Party, yes, that is actually what it's called, basically just lost, and now they are contesting the election, and it looks like the U.S. is now on the brink of civil war. So, you know, that's happening. Over in the UK, they've already had the revolution, so it's now the Union of Britain. France will not be far behind. They end up creating the Commune of France. Reading, as usual. And pretty much like the other big thing we've had to deal with is vermin. Because I think I've already mentioned before, but we've had a bit of a mouse problem over the last few weeks. Because It's not quite as extensive as it was the last time we had a mouse problem. It seems like there's only maybe a couple of them now instead of like a dozen, like what happened last time. But yeah, so we're having to deal with that, and it looks like we've actually managed to isolate them and found out where they were coming from. So we had the Arrow Exterminator guy come out, and he plugged up the places where they had managed to come in, and he has set some traps up in the attic and also under the house. So, you know, that's dealt with. So basically the only other issue we've had is because they're back once again, fucking fruit flies.
Oh, they're the bitch. Oh my God.
Now, fortunately, again, unlike the last time we had fruit flies, it's not as major a deal. You know, they aren't swarming the place. They mostly started showing up in the trash can, and we've been able to get it pretty quickly. And yeah, if you're wondering, like, you know, what do you do when you got fruit flies? You use a little bit of good old redneck ingenuity.
So are you doing the trap with the water and soap thing?
It's actually apple cider vinegar and soap.
That's what it is.
Because okay. The idea is, so basically what you do is you take a paper cup or like a red silo cup or whatever, solo cup or whatever, and then you pour in some apple cider vinegar, and then you squeeze some soap into it, and then you take a piece of plastic wrap and you put it over the cup, and then you sort of strap it down with a rubber band, and then you poke holes in the cup. What happens is fruit flies are attracted to the sweet smell from the apple cider vinegar, but when they get down there, once they get inside, they can't make their way out because, you know, they try to get through those holes in the plastic and they can't really get back out. And if they try to get to the vinegar, they'll either end up drowning in it or the fumes from the soap will suffocate them. So, yeah.
It works.
Yeah, it's crude, but it works. So yeah, that's pretty much what I've been up to for the last week or so. Does anybody got anything else they want to add before we move on? All right, so with that out of the way, I thought it would be time to move on to everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. So if there's one thing that we humans are really good at, it's finding new and awful ways to separate ourselves and look down upon the other. Isn't that right?
Accurate.
It's just like part of the, it's just basically part of the human condition. It's something that we make strides to try and correct. And, you know, we've gotten better over the years, but there's always just that little cesspool of humanity that for whatever reason, be it through stupidity or cynicism or just plain malice, cannot deal with the idea that a person can look or sound or different than you or come from a different place or whatever and not think that there's some horrible thing that needs to be, you know, just straight purged. And the thing about really just racism itself and really just sort of how it evolves and comes into existence is when you look back at it, you start to realize how really inconsistent and absolutely asinine it really is. For example, here's just a quick little example. The Roman Empire. Now, when you think of the Roman Empire or a person who lived in the Roman Empire, you kind of get a certain image in your head, don't you?
Huh?
You're thinking of like maybe it's a dude. Maybe he might not be pasty white, but he's kind of white. He's wearing a toga. You know, you're thinking like one of the old statues or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But keep in mind, the Roman Empire stretched as far west as modern-day Great Britain and as far south as North Africa. So the Roman Empire was actually very multi-ethnic as a group. In fact, there are, you know, records of, for example, black people being in modern-day Great Britain as far back as the Roman Empire, because at one point, the governor of that part of the empire was a gentleman who was born in modern day Morocco. So, okay. Yeah. Or Vikings. There's another example. When you think Vikings, you have a very specific image in mind. Now, granted, a lot of that image isn't necessarily racialism. It's just, you know, the theater. You know, obviously they didn't wear horned helmets or anything like that. But although it is true that the Vikings were predominantly Scandinavian, they tended to settle and intermarry with pretty much all the places they found themselves in. So, you know, having Vikings of like Asian or, you know, South Asian or whatever heritage, not a stretch in the least. And the thing is, when you think about how we justify racism, like all the justifications we come up for it. Like think just in our fairly recent history, all the justifications we came up for why the African, for whatever reason, is a subhuman race that, you know, that the white race is superior to, supposedly. And think of like all the various, you know, justifications that, whether it be like religious ones, like, and, you know, Teresa, you also grew up, you know, in the rural area, so you've probably heard of the so-called Curse of Ham.
That one, no.
You don't? That's the one where basically, you know, Ham was like one of, I can't remember if it was like Noah or Moses' kids, and he did something.
That Ham.
Yeah, that Ham.
Yeah, but I don't remember.
Yeah, basically says that, and then so, you know, you'll be cursed for all time because from Noah, and supposedly the curse was that they got dark skin, and so supposedly that's where black people came from or something. Yeah, that sounds really stupid, but a lot of people used to believe it. And then, of course, you got into shit like fucking phrenology and like measuring skulls and shit like that.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. That was yet another one. But there was actually another ethnic group that existed. They existed in modern day, they existed in France, in Spain, in Portugal. And it's one of those instances where it's like, okay, the racism against this group was well documented, and like there are various examples from archaeological dig sites where the obvious persecution of this group existed. But the thing is, at some point around the 1400s, the racism basically just slowly died out. So much so that hundreds of years later, at this point, we don't know what justification it was that they gave for why they persecuted this specific group of people. And you have to give me a moment because I had this in my notes, and for some reason, it kind of disappeared. So, yeah. So, Chris, if you can make a note of that, because I'm gonna have to hunt this very quickly.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Hold on just a sec. Here we go. Found him. Okay. All right. Just started up where we were. This ethnic group, they actually technically still exist, sort of, but they intermarried so much that they kind of just, that like the idea of like whatever culture, whatever they had, has essentially just sort of vanished off the face. Yeah, blended. It was a group known as the Kagots, C-A-G-O-T. They also went through other names, and it tended to change depending on, you know, whatever local language was. So they were called Kagots, Gezitanes, Gahets, Gafets, Agots, Argots, Agotak, Gafos, Kapots, Kakols, Kahets, Kakul, and Kakins. Now, the evidence for these groups, these guys have existed as far back as like 1000 AD. So they've been around a while.
Dang.
Yeah. But yeah, they were shunned and hated. They were like they were restricted by like what time they could come out, where they could congregate. They were usually required to be segregated into separate quarters of town, which were called kagoteries, which were often like far off in the outskirts of villages. They were excluded from all political and social rights. They were not allowed to marry non-kagots, enter taverns, hold cabarets. They couldn't use public fountains, sell any food or wine, or touch food in the market. They couldn't work with livestock. They couldn't even enter mills. They had to enter a church by use of a special door. And there was a rail that separated them from the rest of the worshipers during service. If they were given the Eucharist, instead of, you guys grew up with, maybe you grew up Catholic or you have friends who are Catholic. You know how when they give out the Eucharist at a mass, you know, there's the priest and he sort of hands it out by hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For the Kagots, the priest would hand it to them on the end of a wooden spoon. There was actually a stoop for holy water that was specifically reserved for their exclusive use. They had to wear distinctive clothing to identify themselves. And at times they were considered to be so, quote, pestilential that it was a crime for them to walk the common road barefooted or to drink from the same cup as a non-Kagot. They were often restricted from being carpenters or butchers or rope makers. And here's the thing. The Kagots, like ethnically or religiously, were almost completely unidentifiable from whatever particular place that they were living in at any given time. For whatever reason, you know, I've seen like some pictures of like fairly recent ones of people who were like fairly, you know, full blooded or mostly blooded, like Kagots from like since the age of like photography. And you look at them, you're like, the only thing about them that seems different is that for whatever reason, their faces sometimes that, you know, they, well, here's an example. This is a Kagots, they tended to have like fairly, I'll just show you this picture. They tended to have like fairly large bulbous heads. Their noses tended to be a little larger. Their lips tended to be a little larger. That's about it. Like, that's really the only like difference that anybody can find from them. And keep in mind, this is like relatively recently, so it's entirely possible that this wasn't even like a thing that Kagots themselves were inherently had. This might just be a thing of like them after having bred with other groups for a while. So it might even just be unique to this particular group of Kagots that they photographed. Now, exactly how the discrimination against it died down. Basically, the allies that they basically had were those in the government, the educated, and the wealthy. In 1683, some doctors examined the Kagots and found them no different from normal citizens. Notably, they did not actually suffer from leprosy or any other diseases that could clarify their exclusion from society. When that happened, the parliament that was there in the local area, the parliaments, they were like, okay, so it looks like there's no reason these people should be persecuted, so we'll allocate some money to improve them, improve their livelihoods. But for whatever reason, the populace and the local authorities resisted. Obviously today they don't really form a separate social class and they've largely been assimilated into the general population. Their culture is almost completely non-existent at this point. Until the early 20th century, there actually was like a distinct Kagok community in Navarra, in the Basque region, which was like the last haven of like anti-Kagok segregation, where it was like that was literally the last holdout, and it finally did away in by, you know, the mid 20th century. Most of the rest of the world had basically long since, you know, discarded whatever prejudice it was against them. That's essentially how asinine like racial and ethnic prejudice is, and trying to create outgroups is that it's absolutely there really is no reason specifically why this particular group, at least in according to modern records, why this particular group was specifically persecuted. There have been some theories, like some origin theories of like who they could be. There was a time when they thought they might have been descendants of the Visigoths. It's also thought they might have been descendants of the Saracens. Which, for those who don't know, Saracens, those were Arab Muslims that were that lived around the border next to what's now Western Europe. It's also thought they might have been descendants of the Cathars. They might have been members of a carpentry guild that collapsed. And for whatever reason, the bad reputation that they gained from that particular event sort of just bled out into the rest of society. It's also been hypothesized that these guys were actually descendants of the Vikings. It's really fascinating to see, you know, like, because like a lot of the specific persecution that the Kagots specifically faced, a lot of it sounds awfully familiar, doesn't it? Just transplant it onto. There we go. Okay. There you are, Teresa. Just take whatever ethnic group you can think of and translate that onto Kagots. You'll notice a lot of it's kind of the same shit. Segregation, ghettoization, basically forcing them into second class citizenship. This overall sense that they're somehow unclean or something, even though by all accounts there doesn't seem to be any reason to do that. It's one of those things where people were like, well, yeah, we grew up despising the Kagots and like my parents did. And so I guess there's some reason to. So that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. All right. So with that out of the way, it is now time for the show proper. And as always, with the show proper, we have to start off with our assholes of the week. And our chief asshole of the week, of course, is still Donald Trump. He has been firing a number of senior defense officials this past week. I think at last count, it was like 4 or 5 individuals. Has he found anyone to actually replace these people yet or not?
I believe he does. Yeah. By like Trump people.
Alright.
Including one here is let's see, where's his name at? Brigadier General Anthony Tata, who's moved into Pentagon's top policy role.
Oh boy.
Taking over duties of James Anderson, who resigned Tuesday. Tata had been nominated to be Under Secretary of Defense for Policy this summer, but his nomination was withdrawn because of bipartisan opposition. Because CNN reported he had made numerous Islamophobic and offensive comments, promoted various conspiracy theories. Let's see, 2018 tweets, he claimed Obama was a terrorist leader who did more to harm the U.S. and help Islamic countries than any president in history. Which you might argue it's either Bush, I guess.
Yeah.
After the withdrawal of his nomination, Tata was designated the official performing of the duties of the Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. Basically like a fake position. Probably given the responsibilities of the one, like what they've been doing a lot of is just like, oh, it's acting head of, you know, whatever, acting secretary sort of thing. So he doesn't have to actually name anybody, just doesn't put anybody up for the official role.
Yeah. Now, as concerning as this does sound, because I know when you think, yeah, he's replacing parts of the department, the defense officials with Trump loyalists, you're thinking, oh my God, this dude is planning a military coup d'etat, isn't he?
Yeah, I think it could be pulled off.
Yeah. Yeah, don't, I would advise, don't worry about that. That's honestly not something that he could pull off.
Yeah, I forget what the
logistics alone make that impossible.
Yeah. There was one of the leaders of the military had a speech on Veterans Day.
Yeah.
They said, like, we only answer to the Constitution, not to, you know, kings and despots and all this stuff. It's like, I think they're not going to listen to him.
Yeah.
No.
Especially when he's only got, like, under 70 days in the White House left anyway.
Yeah.
Mostly what you're seeing right now is kind of political theater more than anything. A lot of the people they've talked into in the White House have basically said, no, he's not. This isn't really none of this. What you've been seeing is really going to amount much. It's just he's trying to appease his ego on his way out.
Just throwing a tantrum.
Yeah, basically.
Because it seems like nobody in the administration is acknowledging that they're loose, that they're going to be out. They're just acting like, oh, there's going to be a second term.
Yeah.
Which is not how it works.
No.
Not at all.
And if we need to, you know, they'll send in security in there and just toss them out like Uncle Phil did to Jazz on Fresh Prince. So get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Speaking of things not working, so ever since it became obvious that Trump was going to lose the election, he and his team have been filing all of these lawsuits all over the country trying to contest the places where he was losing. At last I checked, there was like 30 of them, I think, that he put out.
At least right now he is 1-14 for lawsuits. Yeah.
Yep.
And it's this article goes over like a number of them, like the themes that are in them. Like the first common problem in these lawsuits are reliance on hearsay, individuals making allegations not about what they saw, but about what often unnamed others told them that they had seen.
Yeah,
that's the case brought in Michigan court of claims last week. Trump campaign and sole elector Eric Ostergren lost their bid to stop the counting of all Michigan absentee ballots. Till a, and quote, election inspector from each party was allowed to observe each absentee voter counting board.
Yeah.
The court found the claims defective on several fronts. Chief among them was a glaring lack of evidence. Ostergren himself alleged that he had been, quote, excluded from the counting board, never specified when, where, or by whom, much less why the alleged exclusion occurred. Plaintiffs later supplemented Ostergren's allegation with a sworn statement from Jessica Canarn. A poll watcher said she witnessed voter fraud. As she was observing, Knarrent stated, an unnamed poll worker informed her that she was, quote, being told by other hired poll workers at her table to change the date the ballot was received when entering ballots into the computer, and that the poll worker later handed her a sticky note with instructions to change the, quote, received date. But neither conversation nor the note evinced Knarrent's firsthand knowledge of alleged fraud, and her affidavit was thrown out as hearsay.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, a lot of stuff about wild speculation. Yeah, allegations and complaints that have no reasonable basis in fact. Sound more like something the president would tweet. For instance, in another short-lived suit last week, Trump campaign and the Georgia Republican Party demanded that one county board, county's board of elections, quote, collect, secure, and safely store all absentee ballots received after 7 p.m. on election day.
Mm.
Such ballots would be invalid under Georgia law, but nor did Trump's lawyers allege that the county had improperly counted any late arriving ballots.
Mm-hmm.
So they merely noted, based on one poll watcher's observations, his inability to, quote, confirm the source, certain absentee ballots was unknown whether they were received on time or were stored in compliance with Georgia law. They had no evidence.
Yeah.
One of the plaintiffs, Jill Stock, another suit, claimed that when she tried to vote in person election day, election officials told her she had already cast a mail-in ballot when she did not. Stock further claimed that her mailed ballot was erroneously accepted, counted because of Clark County's use of certain signature verification software. Official investigation, however, revealed that Stock had first told election authorities that her ex-roommate may have taken her ballot, but when given the opportunity to provide a written statement to that effect and to receive a provisional ballot, she refused, insisting that she should not be, quote, pressured into implicating another person in a crime, which is what she was doing anyway, when she had no proof of this crime actually occurred.
Yeah.
It's like, when it comes to put up or shut up, they just shut up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole Sharpie thing from Arizona.
Yeah.
That they're filing suits over.
Which, like, that, even on its surface, doesn't make any goddamn sense. So.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see. And the overwhelming majority of these claims are small potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
In the one case already in the U.S. Supreme Court, if successful, would simply prevent Pennsylvania from counting what Pennsylvania Secretary of State described as, quote, not a significant amount of mail-in ballots that arrived between Election Day and last Friday.
Yeah.
Given that this writing, the margin in Pennsylvania is over 50,000 votes, as much remains that any outstanding ballots will favor Biden, when the legal process run its course, would have no appreciable impact on the bottom line. Now, there's one suit where it was alleging that they weren't getting allowed to get their people in, to which the judge had to be basically like, do you have people in the room representing, you know, Donald J. Trump? It's like, yeah. And he's like, then what's the problem?
Yeah.
Basically, why are you here bitching at me?
Yeah, why are you wasting my time? Yeah, he's, like I said, he's, it's mostly just theater.
And now they're starting to lose firms.
Yeah.
Helping them, because they're just like, this isn't worth our time and reputation.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. By the way, some of these, like, claims of voter fraud are supposedly coming from, like, these random people, like maybe this guy. There's one guy from Erie who was a postal worker who claimed that there was election fraud happening. Turns out he admitted that he was lying because apparently the affidavit that he signed was actually written by, big surprise, Project Veritas.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, so he was in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Accused his supervisors of tampering with ballots in a sworn affidavit.
Mm-hmm.
Then recanted his recantation. Amid the Postal Service investigators at the right-wing disinformation group Project Veritas, with the sworn affidavit he signed, which is then provided to the Trump campaign and used as evidence for another suit.
Mm-hmm.
That then got thrown out because of obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, he claimed he had heard supervisors talking about illegally backdating mail-in ballots to November 3rd so they would be accepted and counted. Erie Postmaster denied that in a Facebook post over the weekend. In the recording of the Monday meeting, investigators asked Hopkins if he stood by his claims that supervisors were backdating ballots. At this point, he asked no. And yep. So, and fueling conspiracy theories at the same time, even Trump basically saying, you know, they got a tweet here from him. Richard Hopkins, Pennsylvania postal worker, recants ballot tampering claim. It's just reposting a tweet, an article from Washington Times. and it had Stay With The Truth, his original story.
Right.
Yeah. We only have to deal with this asshole until January, people. Just keep reminding yourself that.
Yeah, and also people set up a GoFundMe for him because he obviously got suspended from USPS without pay, pending results of an investigation into all this, which collected $136,000 for him, at which the GoFundMe people shut it down for obvious reasons.
Yeah. But it wasn't all assholes this week, because we also got a couple of heroes that came out of all this. First and foremost, you may have heard when the Department of Justice under William Barr announced that they were going to authorize federal prosecutors to pursue any quote voting irregularities, and like just about everybody immediately called bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, it just so happens that among the people who called bullshit was the head of the Department of Justice's election crimes branch, because he immediately resigned after Barr released that memo.
Yep. Yeah, where he... Let me see. I can see this right here. Having familiarized myself with the new policy and its ramifications in accord with the best tradition of the John C. Keeney Award for Exceptional Integrity and Professionalism, my most cherished departmental recognition, I must regretfully resign from my role as director of the Election Crimes Branch. I've enjoyed very much working with you for over a decade to aggressively and diligently enforce federal criminal election law, policy and practice without partisan fear or favor. Thank you for your support in that effort. Yeah, saying, like he's just out. It's not worth his time.
Yeah.
To deal with this and push this bullshit. Yeah, like, people just standing up to this asshole is just Trump stooge.
Yeah. Another hero we've got this week, the Navajo Nation, because turns out they were the group that helped push Biden over the edge in Arizona.
Yep.
Nice.
Arizona pretty much went blue because of these guys.
Yeah, they had a big campaign to get them out. I think it was called, let's see, what was the group called? It was like Ride to the Polls, something like that. But got about 67,000 eligible voters out to the polls.
Yep.
Which about 60 to 90% of them voted for Biden, which he is currently leading by about 12,000 votes. And yeah, they had to ride for about 10 miles on horseback to the nearest poll location in Kayenta, Arizona. Yeah. And a lot of young people too, 18 to 30 year olds.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Especially the young. If you have, I don't know if any of you have anybody or have any friends who are in the indigenous community, but the radicalism and the political engagement has been ramping up in the indigenous community over the last few years. I wonder why.
Yeah.
Yeah. And COVID-19 has especially hit them hard.
Oh, yeah. Next up, this, our hero is just the American people in general. So after it became obvious that Trump was not going to be winning this and most of the networks had called it for Biden, the Trump family set up a quote unquote voter fraud hotline that anybody could call in to report any voter irregularities. That was about, I think, last week they did that. And this week they had to shut it down because people kept flooding it with prank calls.
Yeah. I saw videos of people just calling in, then playing from their computer the Price is Right, you know, trumpet. That kind of stuff. To the point that even like Eric Trump was complaining on Twitter, saying the DNC is spamming our voter fraud hotline to bog down the thousands of complaints we are receiving. Wonder what they have to hide.
No, we're just fucking with you because you're a bunch of dipshits.
Yeah. Yeah. They, I guess they're going to establish a website where users can submit voter fraud allegations, which I'm sure won't get filled with
dick butt
bullshit as well.
Yeah, it'll either be filled with dick butt or...
send some goat season.
Yeah. Gritty will probably show up a couple times. And last hero of the week, this one is not politics related, it's sports related. The Miami Marlins hired the very first female general manager in the Major League Baseball with Kim Ung.
Yep. Yeah, she's been in the MLB for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Been part of the Yankees and the Dodgers as an assistant general manager for several years. Won 3 World Series titles with those teams. So yeah, the Miami Marlins are taking a big step and breaking this one barrier here.
Oh yeah,
which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big deal. All right. Yep. Okay. So with that, that is the end of the show proper. Now we move on to the proper show proper. And unfortunately, we have to start it off with a goodbye. It was one we all kind of knew was coming, but it still kind of hit. Rest in peace, Alex Trebek. He finally passed away from pancreatic cancer this week.
And 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Finished up the most recent season.
Yep.
Like a week before.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be airing that here over the next month or so. Like, mm-hmm. The last episode is on Christmas Day.
Yep. Yeah, I think he announced his cancer diagnosis. I think it was it last year or the year before that?
Yeah, it was a year or two ago. I forget exactly when.
And he was a big
game show guy.
Oh, yeah, he stuck it out for a long time. People don't realize, and this is the time when I kind of wish Phil was here, but a lot of people don't realize this. Before he got into the game show business, Alex Trebek was actually a teen heartthrob.
Yeah, really?
He was a pop singer up in Canada. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. You can find him from back in those days, a couple clips on YouTube if you know where to look. But yeah, that's actually how he got started. And then he did some acting and eventually, yeah, he became a television presenter. He started hosting Jeopardy. And I think wasn't it like back in the 80s?
Oh, yeah, 84.
Yeah.
Yeah, even before that, he hosted a variety of game shows before that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's kind of been probably the most popular host of any game show.
Yeah.
I would say, in at least the U.S.
Yeah.
Very much an icon of just learning, mm-hmm. diverse learning.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, here in the U.S., like, for all the TV channels, especially for those of us who lived for a long time without cable, it was the daily, you know, the back-to-back Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. You know, you could basically tell time with it, because obviously you can tell time with it because it's on a fucking schedule, but...
yeah.
You know, yeah, big part of everybody's lives. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's sad to see him go. I wonder who they're going to – have they made, like, any ideas of, like, who it's going to be to replace him?
No, but they just had that big event with, like, the – I don't know if I forget what the title specifically was like, King of Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Sort of thing, and Ken Jennings won it.
Oh, so you think Ken Jennings might end up becoming the new host? I mean, let's be honest.
I think so. He's already working on some game show stuff for Game Show Network, so...
yeah.
It would make sense that he would become the new host.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, rest in peace, Alex. You left a hell of a legacy behind. Especially for Jeopardy reruns, because holy shit, he's got a whole bunch of them.
Oh, right?
Yeah, 36 years of it.
Yep. So, yeah. Got a lot of shit. Got to have a lot of shit in rotation for the foreseeable future.
8,200 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Get that shit up on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way they film that stuff is they just film it over the course of a few weeks.
Yep.
Then just spread it out throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, him and Pat Sajak just... do that and then just chill for, you know, months.
Just grind out a bunch of episodes. Oh, I'm sure they used to do, like, promos and appearances and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those two were best of friends.
Oh, yeah.
Because they worked the same lot.
Yeah, worked the same lot. Did a lot of crossover stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Even if Pat Sajak is apparently a little insufferable. but yeah. So
also the SNL skits, Celebrity mm-hmm. Jeopardy, are just great.
Still hold up.
I assume they're going to do one this weekend.
Yeah.
To honor him.
Yeah. And the SNL people have been putting up a bunch of the old ones in the collections on YouTube. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give them a watch and have a laugh because they are really fucking funny.
One of the more recent ones with Tom Hanks playing himself.
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh, God, dumb Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's like trying to talk into the pen thinking that's the mic.
Mm-hmm.
And just fucking stabs himself with it.
All right. Well, moving on. It's time to open up the garage door. We're pulling out the COVID-19 dump truck. We got a fresh load for you. All right, to start that, worldwide, there are now 53.3 million cases with 1.3 million deaths. Of those 53.3 million cases, 10.7 million of them are here in the United States.
Yep. 8 digits.
Yeah, 8 digits. But I guess kind of on the flip side, at least, despite that, the deaths are currently 244,000.
Yeah.
Reported.
Yes, reported.
Yeah. We're still averaging like 1,000 cases a day.
Yeah, and once...
No, not a day, but deaths a day. And like we are almost about to hit 250,000 cases mm-hmm. a day.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, and keep in mind, folks, we're not... even in winter yet, so...
Yeah, this is exponential curve happening.
Yeah.
It's really, really alarming.
Yeah.
And if you guys don't have a humidifier, I strongly encourage you to find $30 and go fucking buy one.
Yeah. Because
it will help you, and any little bit of help that we can give ourselves during this,
mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, why not?
No, we've had the humidifier running here... over at my house pretty much 24/7. So
yeah.
A number of states are starting to roll back their regulations on who's allowed to open and how much, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. A lot of places
mandates going back up.
Mm-hmm. As far as drugs go, the Food and Drug Administration has allowed the very first emergency use of a particular antibody drug. I remember this because of the weird fucking name they gave it.
Yeah, it's, I think, the thing that they gave to Trump.
Yeah.
Bamlanivimab.
Bamlanivimab ding dong.
Almost sounds like it would be the same backwards as forwards.
Yeah.
But
palindrome.
Almost there.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well just gone for the full reference.
Yeah. But yeah, basically this is the like Chris said, this is the same thing that they gave Trump, and so now they're allowing it to be used for absolute emergencies when needed.
Mild or moderate COVID-19 cases not requiring hospitalization.
Yeah.
One time treatment given through IV.
Yeah, it's a that's a significant large group of it. So, and now for some really good news, because we've been wanting to hear success on the vaccine front for a while, and it just seemed like for a long time, like it was just far, far away that we were ever going to hear anything good on the vaccine front. And then this week, Pfizer announced that they've produced a vaccine that may have about 90% efficacy.
Yeah, there's two different words there, effective and efficacy.
Yeah.
I mean different things.
Yes.
That's what this second link is. It's because they get used interchangeably, but I've seen people that report on this stuff are like, no, these are two different terms.
Mm-hmm.
Efficacy is the performance of a treatment under ideal and controlled circumstances, like a trial.
Yeah.
And effectiveness is performed under real-world conditions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
for it to be 90% effective, it would have to be able to be used in like just a regular ass hospital environment, not like a
right
and heavily no controlled 70. Testing environment,
which they won't know until they're ready to start putting it into people.
Yeah,
in a live situation, which they'll do all their continued data stuff, follow up on those people.
Yeah,
before it goes completely wide.
Yeah,
now efficacy is just for the trials because you're bringing in people that are basically the best case scenarios.
Yeah. Now, don't get it twisted. This is still very good news.
Yeah.
But again, this will not, because it is very promising, and it shows that we've managed to make a very big leap here. But like Chris said, efficacy and effective are two different words.
It is, and the logistics of getting it to people are going to be hard. Because this one requires -70°C storage.
Mm-hmm.
And that is hard to find in a lot of rural areas that are away from something like, Vanderbilt University. Okay, they're going to find that near Nashville. They're not going to find it in eastern Tennessee.
Yeah, which means what's probably going to happen is that the government's going to the Biden administration will probably end up rolling out a vaccination program where they will specifically send people out into rural areas in order to give out the vaccine itself.
Yeah. Which will be jobs in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
They set up for this stuff because they're starting to ramp up testing in some areas. If you've seen like them trying to do testing through the LA Dodgers stadium.
Yeah.
Which is like, shitload of cars, but they're able to get through pretty quickly because that area is made to get lots of traffic in and out quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like hell because that's LA traffic, but
yeah.
Well, I mean, also, that's good compared to what we have people, in our horse racing.
I've seen people
track.
That actually went through it and like, yeah, it's like maybe 15-20 minutes to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too bad. And then you give them your information and they'll email you or text you the results, whatever, or call you. The next day.
Yeah. As far we won't really know if it's about its effectiveness until they can actually like get out of the
real world scenarios.
Yeah. Dr. Fauci has said that we might be ready for a vaccine around April of next year.
Also keep an eye out on the vaccine in Japan.
Yeah.
Because that one has some good buzz right now too.
Yeah. Basically, this whole thing has been like a worldwide effort. All the countries, various universities and medical facilities and government, disease and all that have all been collaborating over the last few months. So
I think this is where like China has been already just dispersing theirs, even though they haven't fully tested it.
Yeah.
Which makes sense for what they would do.
Yeah.
Probably test it on the lesser people as far as they're concerned.
We got one last big story, and that is, we got some more, stories of people in the Trump administration testing positive for COVID. Dr. Ben Carson tested positive.
Probably the first time you've heard his name in months.
Yeah.
'Cause he just disappears.
Yeah. White House Chief of Staff and Chief Asshole Mark Meadows has also tested positive.
Yeah, and apparently they didn't tell any of the aides about this, so he got four other people around the White House infected, including top campaign aide Nick Traynor, who's been crunching the numbers for election stuff, and three other people in the White House, including a deputy for Meadows. Trump campaign staffers told CNN they are furious because the leadership in the campaign never sent out an email informing staff of the positive cases or cautioning them to stay home for the time being. Meadows was in the office multiple times this week without a mask.
Yep.
Just in case you need to know what kind of person this guy is.
Yeah. And speaking of knowing what kind of person they are, Corey Lewandowski also tested positive.
Yeah, he's one of like the top officials on Trump's election campaign group, so... David Blasi, one of Trump's political advisors, has also tested positive, as well as White House Political Affairs Director Brian Jack. I'll test it positive. So.
And I think last I checked, like over 100 Secret Service personnel were also either tested positive or were in quarantine. So
oh, yeah, which is like 10% of their workforce.
Yep.
But yeah, Lewandowski was on board Air Force One on November 2nd alongside Bossy and others for a Trump campaign rally in Wisconsin. Traveled to Pennsylvania on behalf of the campaign, appearing news conferences on election challenges. I was also at some events, like post or during election night or right after. Yeah, the election night party.
Yeah.
With Mark Meadows and other aides and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, these people.
Yeah.
That
It's.
You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
They're going to have to fucking fumigate that place before the Bidens can move in. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah, just send in the... We first got to tear out Trump.
Yeah.
Throw him out. Or should do is just gas him at night. Just drag him out while he's sleeping.
Yeah.
And
believe me, if whoever it is that ends up dragging him out, it's probably going to be the Secret Service themselves.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I can tell you from my historical knowledge... The Secret Service are loyal, but they're also fickle. And once you are no longer their charge, they can't wait to drop you like a bad habit.
God, imagine the Secret Service that has to follow him around for the rest of his life.
Oh my God. They're going to have to pay them so fucking much money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And their children and their children's children. Up into the third generation. But yeah. So yeah.
No, do you need Secret Service if you're in jail?
Yeah.
Probably.
That'd be the one way they get out of there.
That's going to be an interesting, because they'll be the first former president to be incarcerated. That'll actually be interesting to see what they're gonna do.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. So. All right, then, backing it up, back into the garage, shutting up. We'll have a fresh load from the COVID-19 dump truck next week because, of course, we will. Of course, we will. Anyway. All right, so now it's time for the 2020 U.S. post-election cleanup. All right, so basically this week was a bunch of the Trump administration trying to show their asses and showing, no, no, we totally won this. We've been screwed over. And then everyone else going, no, you didn't. Sit down. For example, officials from the Department of Homeland Security, apparently including Chad Wolf himself, called this election, quote, the most secure in American history.
Yes, top committee made up of officials from the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, put out this statement the other day saying there's no evidence that any voting system deleted or lost votes, changed votes, or was in any way compromised. Voting systems were made secure through pre-election testing, state certification of voting equipment, and the U.S. Election Assistance Commission's certification of equipment. The joint statement acknowledged opportunities for misinformation and urged voters to seek out election officials as trusted voices. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe these guys that put this out get their pink slips as a result of outing themselves to Trump.
Pretty much.
For daring to counter anything he says.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, speaking of outing themselves to Trump, just a quick... loop back to that story we gave about the head of the DOJ's election crime branch after he resigned. He ended up leaving the office building of the Department of Justice with a standing applause behind him, showing that, you know, how much. And then once the Trump administration heard of this, they said, take down the name of anybody who took part in the applause so we can fire them. Because they're basically fucking supervillains at this point.
Well, yeah, Trump doesn't like anybody getting more attention than him.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, so moving on from there, Joseph Biden won the election by the same margin that Trump did in 2016. And he did it with the popular vote.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he, let me see, I saw this earlier here. Yeah, 306 to 232. The same as Trump. And yeah, it's... you won't see this described as like a blowout like Trump's was. Because Trump faced a woman. So it means you have to rub it in more.
Yeah.
Weird as that is, but... Yeah, it's the highest voter turnouts in a century, at least so far as they're counting.
Yeah.
63.9%. 1908 was 65.7%. Though I assume the pure numbers are the highest ever.
Mm-hmm.
I think both got more than any president has ever gotten.
Mm.
But Trump brags about his number, and it's like, you still lost. It doesn't matter.
Yep. You're
the best loser. So I did see a good Venn diagram that was presidents that have been impeached. It was three circles, I think. Presidents that have been impeached. Presidents that got the popular lost the popular vote, and presidents that were one term presidents.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that's in all three.
Yep.
So he's number one. Biggest loser.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Speaking of the Bidens, First Lady Jill Biden will actually continue her teaching job after becoming the First Lady.
Okay.
Yep. She teaches at Northern Virginia Community College, as well as her planned causes that she revealed.
Mm-hmm.
Free community college, helping out military families, expanding cancer research and education.
Yep.
So she's going to be the first FLOTUS that is going to keep working.
Yeah. You know what, though? Those three focuses of hers are wonderful and so very fitting for who she is and that family, too.
Yeah.
That's right.
It'll be nice to have somebody with some class in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody with some fucking education. We haven't had that since the Obamas.
Yeah. And also with the Bidens, their dog, Major, which is a German Shepherd, will be the first White House dog that was adopted from a shelter.
Yeah, it was being reported that he was the first rescue dog, but Lyndon Baines Johnson's dog, Yuki, was the first one.
Yeah.
Stay here. Yuki was a mixed breed dog found by President Johnson's daughter at a gas station in Texas on Thanksgiving Day in 1966. While on our way to the LBJ Ranch, Lucy named the dog Yuki, which means snow in Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
First, Yuki lived with Lucy, but while visiting the White House, Yuki won the president's heart and became his faithful companion.
Mm-hmm.
He took her dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Two dogs they have, Champ and Major.
Mm-hmm.
You can always trust people that have pets.
Yeah.
They care about something other than themselves.
Yeah. And of course, since we're having a woman vice president, that means Doug Emhoff will become the very first second gentleman in U.S. history.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, he's...
will he continue working if he is currently working? I'm assuming at his age he is, yes.
I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's...
stay-at-home dads are quite popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's an entertainment lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So you could probably not work on that if he wants. But yeah, talking about how he's just been kind of a supportive husband for most of the campaign.
Mm.
Really only got into the spotlight when the dude was running at her on the stage, trying to take her mic.
Yeah.
And I guess he also has his own supporter group called the Doug Hive.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to Kamala is called the K-Hive.
Mm-hmm.
So people are still weird.
Yeah. Welcome to the internet.
Yeah.
Well, and finally, Biden's COVID-19 task force. God, doesn't that just sound good to say?
Yeah.
It's going to feature Dr. Rick Bright, who was one of the whistleblowers that got fired by Trump.
Yeah, he was trying to sound the alarms about COVID-19.
Yeah.
Ahead of time, and the Trump campaign just said, what? We got a campaign to run. Who cares about COVID-19?
Yep.
But yeah, his task force, I think, is all doctors except for one.
Mm-hmm.
And the one is, I think it was a woman that is a like president of a medical group. So she has plenty of experience in the field, just not a doctor. But yeah, the idea of, you know, putting experts into a task force like this.
Yeah.
And not threatening to put their heads on spikes.
Yeah.
That's
true.
This is what we voted for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and with no weird undertones to that, this is what we voted for. This is what we want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We want science. We want competence.
Yeah. The weird thing is the Pfizer vaccine announcements, the Trump campaign tried to take credit for that.
No.
It's like part of their Project Warp Speed or whatever.
Yeah.
And one of the top people at Pfizer was like, no, we're not part of any of that shit.
No.
Yeah. They steered clear of it completely.
Mm-hmm.
And wisely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Pfizer, they already had their own own PR issues. They didn't need the Trump name attached to it.
No.
Yeah. Indeed. Well, all right.
Shame is we have to wait another 2 months for them to even get into positions of power.
Yeah.
As Trump just is seemingly taking vacations at this point.
Mm-hmm.
He's not doing anything. Mm. Than just bitching on Twitter.
Yeah. All right. So that is basically the end of the serious part of the show. Now we're going on to the entertainment part. So first and foremost, you might have heard last week when we talked about Jeffrey Toobin, who is a CNN contributor and also frequent writer for The New Yorker.
I think it was just a few weeks ago.
Yeah. He was caught masturbating on a Zoom call.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it turns out the masturbating at the Zoom call turned out to be the tip of the iceberg because it turns out he's kind of got a history of aggressive sexual behavior. So much so that he has now been fired by The New Yorker after writing for them for over a decade.
They said he was there for 27 years.
Yep.
As a staff writer.
Yeah.
Hey, I guess we can call this a Toobin.
Yeah.
When you get caught on the cam.
Yeah. I believe some of the other things that happened was one of his female colleagues, he said something about how he wanted to, quote, fist her.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's, yeah. So, yeah, yeah. Now, whether or not he's still going to be working for CNN, I don't know.
Yeah, he's still on leave of absence there.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, yeah. So this next story. Everybody here remembers Monkey Jesus, right?
No.
What the hell? Y'all remember Monkey Jesus or Potato Jesus, as he's sometimes called? It was that really bad art restoration thing that became a meme.
Oh, yes, yes.
Anyway, like I was saying, that art restoration project, you would think after something like that basically became like a worldwide laughingstock for like the entire year, you would think, oh, certainly, you know, the people over in Europe would figure out that, you know, if we're going to get someone to restore these old, you know, frescoes and statues and whatever, we should probably get someone who actually is qualified. And yet, for whatever reason, it still keeps fucking happening. So, over in Spain, in Palencia, there was another incident of art restoration gone wrong. It was a statue that was on the side of the church that basically its head fell off. You know, and so they hired someone who's like, okay, we need somebody who can, if not reattach the head effectively, we can at least remake it and put it back onto the statue. And the result kind of looks like they call it the potato head of Palencia, but honestly, it looks more like a combination of Minister Bill and Donald Trump.
Oh my God.
It looks like how I would do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is why you hire professionals.
Yeah.
And not just like, oh, this is one of our church members.
Yeah.
Because you got to have receipts when you're, you know, reworking this kind of stuff.
Seriously. And it keeps fucking happening.
Because they're fucking cheap.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, moving on from there, we got some Disney Plus news, amongst others. There is now a Darkwing Duck reboot that is coming.
Yes. Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, so they are an early development on it. No writer attached to it yet, but executive produced by Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg, and like that group of people.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's it for the like current news on that. Just it seems like it's happening.
Yeah. So yeah, I watched it back when I was a kid, basically every weekday afternoon on the Disney afternoon.
Yeah. You can tell what cartoons were like back then. 91 to 92, 3 seasons, 91 episodes.
Yep.
In like a year and a half or so.
Now, for those of you may remember, they did more or less reintroduce Darkwing Duck over on the newer DuckTales series, where, you know, he's basically an actor on like a low-rate TV show.
Yeah, I need to get back to that and probably watch the old show.
Yeah.
For Darkwing Duck, because I never saw it.
Yeah. And I've also heard that they are doing a new DuckTales as well, so...
Yeah.
I mean, not a new DuckTales, a new Tailspin. So...
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So we got that coming as well. Yeah, so next up, we've also got WandaVision. That'll be debuting on Disney Plus on January 15th, 2021.
Yeah, a little bit of a delay. It was supposed to come out in December.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, something new to watch in the right before the new president gets in.
Yep, yeah.
See what kind of weird madness this show is.
Oh, yeah. Also, because, of course, Disney's still going through with their live-action remakes of their animated classics, John M. Chu is now in talks to direct the live-action version of Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah, oh, Lilo and Stitch, dude. It's...
Ew. Live-action.
Could be neat. The director's really good.
Yeah.
He did the Crazy Rich Asians and is directed the upcoming In the Heights movie whenever that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, this would be like the third big one he's got in recent memory.
Mm-hmm. All right, and we've also got David Fincher. He just signed an exclusive 4-year deal with Netflix.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, so Mank is coming out here on December 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of signed a 4-year deal. Interestingly, like, doing this interview with a French magazine called Premiere, talking about how he was exhausted after 2 seasons of Mindhunter.
Mm-hmm.
That's creating, you know, like, 10 hours of content per season, per year. Just took a lot out of him, so he wanted to do something that was... a movie, you know, 2 hours of content to make.
Yeah.
It was a lot better for him. Then said, let's see, okay, what do you have? After in the script, they said, when do we start? And he said, an exclusive deal with them for another 4 years, depending on how Mank is received. Yeah. I would either go see them with a low profile to ask them whether I can redeem myself or show up like an arrogant prick and demand to make more black and white movies. joked Fincher.
Yeah.
So he's got a good sense of humor about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see what he works on. Depending on how Mank does, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Alright, and next up, we got a story from Warner Brothers. Yeah, it's Wonder Woman 1984. Everybody knows, you know, it's the sequel to the Wonder Woman movie, and honestly... Warner Brothers isn't really sure if they want to just put it on HBO Max or delay it.
Yeah. They're looking at like a January HBO Max release.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe delay it till summer 2021 when maybe vaccines are out there and they can actually get theaters open.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of what this whole article is about, just kind of in limbo.
Yeah. Because
they were supposed to release in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And just pushed it back from June to August and October, mm-hmm. then to Christmas Day. And now it seems like that's not going to happen at all. No theaters are going to stay open.
Yeah.
Anywhere this holiday.
Yeah.
So they're trying to figure out if it's something they can do for HBO Max and sort of try and boost subscriber count for that. To say HBO Max is at 8.6 million.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 38 million total between HBO and HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
Which is exceeding their expectations, but still behind Disney and Netflix and all the others.
Yeah.
So they were wondering, like, maybe Wonder Woman 1984 would be a big draw for them, on par with, like, Hamilton on Disney Plus or the Old Guard for Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff that has done really well for them. Yeah, they're at 73 million Disney Plus subscribers.
All right.
Despite putting a loss of 710 million. I don't know if they're putting, like, the loss on the movies they're putting up in relation to that, but I don't know. But, yeah, they're still trying to figure out, like, what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So stay tuned and see what's going to happen with that.
Yeah. And finally, last story we got for the night. HBO Max will be airing some of their shows and movies on TNT, TBS, and True TV. The article says they're going to do it through Thanksgiving. So
yeah, over that weekend there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to put some episodes of Titans.
Mm-hmm.
The new Kaley Cuoco series of Flight Attendant during that weekend, as well as DC films like Aquaman, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, which they shouldn't do because it's a bad movie, Wonder Woman. Aquaman will make its network premiere as a result. They'll have some like sneak peek stuff. I guess Kaley Cuoco will introduce couple episodes of Big Bang Theory for her own like mini marathon of that, leading up to her new show's pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout each day, QR codes will appear on screen along with the network and show specific URLs, giving viewers access to subscribe for a free 7-day trial.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they got the schedule here at the bottom for each of the channels, which True TV seems like it's just going to get Impractical Jokers all day on Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
I'm surprised that show is as popular as it is.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen episodes, and it's like, okay. It's a bunch of just weirdos goofing on each other, which I guess can be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, like TNT on Thanksgiving is doing Batman vs. Superman, Man of Steel, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and some Titan shows, Titan episodes. TBS doing Lego Ninjago, The Hobbit Battle of the Five Armies. I don't even know which one it is in that trilogy.
I think it's the last one.
And Shrek Forever After. I don't even know where that one is. It's probably the last one, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Friends marathon for 5 hours. 2 showings of The Wizard of Oz and The Big Bang Theory.
That's something.
Yeah, it's something. There's
stuff for Friday and Saturday and Sunday as well.
I think it's partly just so that, you know, if any families do end up getting together, they got something to do over that weekend. Yeah.
And convenience way to advertise that they got a subscription service.
Yeah.
People to watch more.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you want to watch Lara Croft Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life.
Yeah. Hit
movies like that. It's 6 a.m. in the morning on TBS. I've woken up way too early and this bullshit's on and I don't have the energy to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of movie there. Which happens for like, I've seen too much of this and I need to see it through.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of movie experience.
Yeah.
They will have Crazy Rich Asians on TBS on Friday, 7 to 9:30, and then again at 9:30 to 12 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So you can watch that.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So I do believe that is going to be our show, folks. Not going to be, obviously Thanksgiving is not going to be until the week after next, but next week will be our show before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you've got a question, comment, or something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. Yeah, that's going to wrap it up for us this week. So with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Chris Delogie and Teresa Sammons, good night, sleep tight. We only have to deal with them until January, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Strap in.
It'll be forever.